praise you. You are God. You are Lord. You are all I'm living for. You are King of everything. I want my life to praise you. Here I am. I come to thank you. Changed, because you gave your life for me. Crucified your son for me. How can I do anything but praise? I praise you. You are God. You are Lord. You are all I'm living for. You are King of everything. I want my life to praise you. You are God. You are Lord. You are all I'm living for. You are King of everything. I want my life to praise you.
Praise the Lord again, church. You could just stand for a few moments here this morning. And, I'd like to also mention that if we could continue to pray for Brother John and Sister Melissa Brunker. Sister Melissa's brother passed away, and this was just kind of very unexpectedly. And the funeral will be Tuesday at Gunderson Visitation, 4 to 6. If you can get by there and support them for that, we appreciate that. So continue to pray for them this morning. We started a series on Wednesday evening, and it was pretty light attendance on Wednesday evening as well. But the title of the series, it's not the wind that determines the direction, but it's the set of the sail. And we're going to continue on that this morning, and then we'll finish this up this evening. We're reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. Very familiar passage of Scripture. For we walk in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh. That's a mouthful right there within itself. For our weapons are not warfare. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge or to retaliate all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. It's a powerful portion of Scripture this morning. We're not walking. We walk in our flesh, but we don't war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. We don't fight carnality with carnality. We use the weapons that God has given us. But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. Now, that's a really hard thing to do right there. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge, not to retaliate, all disobedience when your disobedience is fulfilled. You can be seated. You see, we have to understand, and I'm going to review just a little bit this morning. Every decision that we make in our lives, those decisions are born out of a set of core values. And these values determine our direction in which we travel in our life. So if Jesus Christ is at the center of our lives, then our values should reflect as such. And with that, if they reflect as such, then as we make decisions, we're going to make decisions that are going to reflect the values of Jesus Christ. So you could say when we make a decision, we're going to make a right decision or a correct decision. I just want to say congratulations to Brother AJ. He was just sharing with me he's in police academy and he was awarded or appointed the police academy, the president or class president of your class. So congratulations on that, Brother JJ or AJ. So we've spoken concerning, we had a series where we talked about our mindsets, resetting our mindsets. And as we reset our mindsets, or if we reset our mindset correctly based upon the principles in the Word of God, we covered a number of those principles. So as we reset our mindsets, our decision process follows. So you change your mind or reset your mind on an individual issue or a topic or a problem or whatever that you may have in your life. You reset your mindset on that. We went through the scripture, as a man thinketh, so is he. So if we think right, we become right. I love, how many of you like to get out on a boat in the water? You go out in a boat. We used to have a boat. I did sell the boat because I didn't use it near as often as I thought. They always say that the best day of your life or the happiest day of your life is when you buy a boat. The second happiest day of your life is when you sell the boat. There we go. Some of you boat guys, you know what? I think that goes for snowmobiles too. I'm not for sure, but it seems like you're always working on them, you know. So you go to the lake and you feel the waves as they gently rock the boat. One of my favorite places that I like to used to go sit in the boat with my wife and I, just kind of as the sun would set, we'd get right down there in front of Monona Terrace, and it was so beautiful. And it always amazes me as we'd watch the sailboats come across the lake. And you can feel the wind blowing. Maybe it's coming from kind of a southward direction. So the sailboats are going from south to across the lake, which would be north, I guess, or northwest on that shoreline. But then once they reach that shoreline, they turn around and they start to sail back. And I always wondered, how in the world does a sailboat sail with the wind and then turn around and sail against the wind? It wasn't until I started reading up on sailing that it's how you have your sail set. And it's not necessarily how the direction that the wind is blowing, but it's the angle and the set that you have on your sail. And life is a lot that way. Sometimes the wind may be blowing one particular direction and we may be going in another particular direction because that is the set of our sail or how we have our set or the sail is set. So the wind is supposed to propel the boat from one place to the next, from one shore to the next. And if we allow the winds of the Holy Spirit to fill our sails, thus allowing us to set in a direction that God chooses for us to go. It's not always the direction that we want to go. It's not always the direction that I want to go. But if God says, this is where I want you to go, then this is where we need to go. We talked about obedience to God. It's all about being obedient to God. And sometimes our flesh, sometimes we struggle in that. And we want to do things the way we want to do things. I think all of us can kind of understand that. From time to time, we talked about pride and humility and how that as our pride gives way to humility and as we humble ourselves before God, that trust that we have in God grows. And as our trust grows, so does our faith. So if we want to have a greater degree or a higher degree of faith, then we need to have a higher degree of trust. And we need to humble ourselves before God. In repentance, we can no longer allow the winds of fear to sail our boats. Fear is kind of a really funny thing. Sometimes fear is great. It's great to fear a wild bear. If you're out hiking and you run across the bear and, fear is what tells you that you need to get out of there and you need to get out of there quickly. So we cannot afford to let others blow their winds into our sails. Sometimes we allow people around us to influence us, what people say, how people, we've all had relationships in our past that maybe you're involved in something in your life right now that someone else is speaking into your life and it may be in a negative manner, and you're allowing the winds, their winds, to determine your direction. So we need to be careful of that. They're controlling our destiny, and if they control our destiny, they're controlling our lives. And we talked about a few things that we had to do in order to take and keep on the right path with God. And the first thing that we had to do is this is reviewing from Wednesday night, we needed to surrender control. Being filled with the Spirit starts with the loss of control. We need to say, you know what, Lord, this is my life. I'm going to surrender my life, my will to you, what you would have me to do, what you want me to do. That's where fighting in our flesh comes in, because our flesh does not want to surrender to anyone. It wants to do what it wants to do. It wants to say what it wants to say. It wants to act how it wants to act. Then we need to saturate ourselves in the Word. If we want the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, we need to hear His voice and recognize what He's trying to tell us. And that is through reading the Word of God. This is our power. This is our authority, is the Word of God. It's not what I'm saying, but it's what is God saying about this. And a lot of times people say, well, you just can't judge me that way. Well, this isn't what I'm saying. I'm not the one that's judging here. This is what the Word of God is saying. So we need to talk with God throughout the day. In John 3:8, it says the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. You know, sometimes God's presence just comes in, and it just fills up the room. And there's such a sweet, peaceful presence of the Holy Ghost. All the world around you can just be chaotic and can be full of stress. But when that Spirit comes in, and that's through developing a relationship with God by talking with Him every day. We have friends that we work with. We have husbands, wives, children. Moms, dads, the reason that we have relationship with them is because we talk with them. A lot of what our relationship is based upon communicating, talking with one another. So we need to adjust ourselves to the Holy Spirit so that we can remain constantly vigilant as to where and how the wind of the Holy Spirit is blowing. And then all of these points, surrendering control, saturating yourselves in the Word, or talk with God throughout the day. All of this is of no significance if we don't do point four, which we discussed, and that was obedience. So this is where I want to end up, where I want to start off this morning, is with obedience. So let's begin this lesson at the end of our last lesson. So we must understand that God is always, He's always, always, always at work around us. Sometimes we feel like maybe in conversation with God that we're like, Lord, I haven't heard from you in a while. I'm praying and I'm asking or seeking you for this or seeking you for that. But we got to understand that God is always, always, always at work around us in our lives. God pursues a continual love relationship with us that is real and is personal. God had a relationship with man back in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, and God desires to have the same relationship with you and I as He had with them back in the garden. But the reason that relationship was destroyed was because of sin. Sin destroyed that relationship. Sin destroys a lot of relationships. So we got to understand that God is always at work around us. God is pursuing to have a continual love relationship with us that's real and personal. And God invites us to become involved with Him. How do we get involved with God? We get involved with God through the work of God, through His work, what He is asking us to do. God speaks to us by the Holy Spirit, through His Word, through prayer, through circumstances, and through His church to reveal Himself. He reveals His purposes and His ways. I don't know if you have figured this out or not, but church is really about Him. Okay? Worship is about Him. Prayer is about Him. Reading the Word of God is about Him and how His Word reflects upon us. So He speaks to us by the Holy Spirit through His Word, through prayer. He reveals His purposes. God's invitation for us is to join Him in His work. It will always lead us to this crisis of belief, meaning a point of complete trust in Him that requires faith and action. So for God desires for us to be used, for us to come to this crisis of belief, this meaning that is a point of complete to where we have a complete trust in Him that requires faith and action. A lot of times when we have a crisis in our lives, that's when it seems like we have more we determine to have try to have more faith, more trust, and more meaning in our lives. And we have to make adjustments, as we spoke of this on Wednesday evening, in order for us to join God in what He's looking to do through our lives. We have to make these adjustments in our lives. So we talked about setting our sails, okay, setting the sail to follow after the winds of the Holy Spirit as it blows into our lives. But then as we go along the way, sometimes we're sailing along here and we're making really good time. And before we realize it, we're all by ourselves and God is way over here because we haven't made those adjustments. It's not always about speed and how fast we're going. It's being in that sweet spot with God is what counts in our lives. So He reveals His purposes, His ways. We have to come to know God by experience as we obey Him, and He accomplishes His work through us. The church is full of people who are anxious to hear from God, but hearing from God and following through on what God says are really two different complete matters. We want to hear from God. We pray and we fast and we say, God, I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. And then we hear from God. And when we hear from God, we don't necessarily always want to do what God has asked us to do. We struggle with that. And we pray to God to speak to us and lead us in His life. We say, God, what's your will for my life? What's your purpose for my life? But before we're willing to take these steps forward, we have to trust Him. There has to be a degree of trust there, and that's where so many times we as humans, our flesh, we have an issue with that. Will we trust God when He gives us the word? So when God says, Brother Noah, if you do this, I will do this. And we're like, well, no, Lord, I want you to do this first, and then I'll trust you. And God says, no, you trust me, and then I'll show you. See? So once we recognize the call of God, we must then decide whether or not to believe that God can enable us to do what He's calling us to be a part of. Having declared our faith in God, we must then adjust our lives or adjust our sails in order to be in a position to obey God. Obedience is crucial in our walk with God because without it, we'll never do the will of God or the purpose that He has called us to do. I believe that every person on this planet has a purpose and a will that God has for their lives. But we struggle with that. We don't want to follow that. So obedience is crucial. And we must obey the call of God if we're going to experience the working of God in our lives. Sometimes we wonder, why doesn't God work in my life? Well, because we're not listening to God. We're not doing what God has called us or asked us to do. So when we look at what are the marks of true obedience, so I started to look at this, and I think the first mark of true obedience is time, being timely. When should I obey God? You may say, well, when what point do I start to obey God? Well, when God starts to give you commands is when you start to obey them. So it's all about timing. What does the Lord teach us about obeying His will? It says in the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, as it is in earth, as it is in heaven. So listen really closely here. I believe that God reveals His calling for us in three different phases. He gives us the what, the how, and the when. The first things He tells us is what I want you to do. The second things He tells us is how I want you to do it. And the third thing He tells us is when I want you to do it. So the what, how, and when. Until I'm told when, I'm nevertheless responsible for whatever God has told me to do up until that particular point in my life. So sometimes we wonder, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. Well, what was the last thing he told you to do? Think about that. What's the last thing he told you to do? I need to continue to walk in what he has revealed to me thus far, and then when he reveals my next step, I'm to walk into that next step. So it's a series of steps. Sometimes they're small little baby steps, and sometimes they're a little bit more difficult steps. It just depends upon where we are, our level of maturity, and what God is calling us to do. Jesus said in John 12:35, walk while you have the light, keep on living by it, so that darkness may not overtake and overcome you. Every moment that we hesitate to follow the call of God is a moment that we risk wandering around in the darkness. And I know many of us have had struggles with this. Every moment that I hesitate to follow the call of God is a moment that I risk wasting more of my life rather than investing more of my life. Therefore, I need to commit myself to living my life, walking in whatever light that God has given me to walk in today. When you get in your car and you turn on your headlights, most of our headlights go on automatically now, so we don't have to turn them on and turn them off. We just get in, turn the ignition, and our lights come on. So when you're driving your car and you get out, so if I left church here tonight to drive home and I turn my lights on in the parking lot here to drive home, those lights aren't going to shine all the way to my driveway. All right? They're not going to shine all the way to your driveway. In fact, if you're driving out and you're heading out of the parking lot, when you get to the first curve, you're going to be shining at the garage and your car is going to be turning and your headlights are going to be shining out across the playground, and pretty soon you're going to be shining down towards the entrance of the driveway. You get the drift. You pull out onto the road, the lights shine out, and they only shine so far ahead of you. But understand, if you look at a marker on the side of the road, a mailbox, a reflector, your light hits that reflector. It's just a few seconds, and you're there, and you're past that. But then the light is still moving ahead of you. And that's the way God works sometimes. Sometimes he just gives us enough light to show us and to lead us and guide us just to the next marker. I think sometimes if God were to sit us down and say, listen, this is your life, this is how I've got it all planned out, this is part one, part two, part three. Part three has an A, B, and a C. It's going to be a little, you know. And if we looked at all of that and we contemplated all of that, we would probably look at ourselves and say, God, how in the world am I ever going to get there? But you see, God doesn't get you to point B until you've mastered point A. And we hate that with God. If we don't pass the test, we're going to get it over again. It may not be the same test. It may not be the same questions. It may be true and false instead of multiple choice. But if we don't pass the test, we're going to get it again. So we have to totally, fully obey. And true obedience is total obedience. You can't just halfway obey. True obedience is total obedience. This is why it's important to wait on the Lord to discern how he wants us to do what he's calling us to do. A lot of times God gives us a calling. God gives us, says, you know what, this is what I want you to do. And before we even get any further with that, we're already out running with it. And we're wide open towards what God has called us to do. And God's saying, no, wait a minute. I just told you what to do. Let me tell you how to do it. You know, I mean, God gave Joshua a command that says, you know what, Joshua, you're going to take Jericho. This is what I want you to do. And if God wouldn't have told him how to do it, they would have probably laid siege there around that city for months and months, perhaps even years. But God says, no. I'm going to tell you how to do it. All you got to do, Joshua, is just march. Just march. Keep your mouth quiet and march. That's all I want you to do. Then on the seventh day, I want you to go around seven times. So he's telling them what, how, and when. And on the seventh day, I'm going to bring victory. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. So to obey God, I must be willing to make the necessary adjustments, changes, and even sacrifice that are required of us. That's our motivation to do so. We must come from knowing that if we will give to God our full measure of obedience, we will receive a full measure of blessing. And that's where a lot of us sometimes get frustrated too, because we see other people getting blessed and we're like, how come they're being blessed and I'm not being blessed? Well, how's your level of obedience to God? So in the process, we become frustrated due to the fact that we look at ourselves and we say, you know what, I've got all of these limitations. I got all of these shortcomings. But we must believe that we work for and serve a God that has no limitations. What's impossible to man is possible with God. If we don't have the talent, we don't have the abilities of what God is calling us to do, then that's where we trust in Him. We say, God, show me, use me, mold me, make me, whatever you got to do. Streamline me, add on to me, whatever has to happen, so I can get from where I am now to where you want me to be. Because that's what we're all striving for. So we as Christians, as we surrender ourselves unreservedly to God, He is free to work undeservedly through us. So when we submit ourselves 100% to God, then God says, you know what? I can take and work 100% through you. If we only submit 25% to God, then God says, I can only work with 25%. That's all you're giving me to work with. And then also, true obedience is transforming. True obedience, complete trust in God, will release the power of God in your life. Specifically, the power of God to transform us, but not only just transform us, because it's not just about us. It's about us being able to take and shine the light of Jesus Christ through us so that we can transform other people, or other people can be transformed through the light that shines in us. So God can do anything, far more than what you and I could ever imagine and think in even our wildest dreams. So if we could take our wildest dreams and visions and we could lay it out there, God says, you know what, I can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you're able to ask or even think. So, see, He does it not by pushing us around. God doesn't just come up to us, say, Brother David Lance, this is what I've called you to do, and you're not going to do it, so I'm going to push you. I'm going to pick you up, and I'm going to push you. And God, Brother David, He doesn't want to do that, and I'm picking on you, Brother David. I hope that's okay. Not really picking on you. Just, we're all that. God's not going to force us. He doesn't force us to do anything. He doesn't push us around. He doesn't bully us. His Spirit, it's deep in us and gently. He works deep and gently within us if we're willing to receive Him. Ephesians 3:20 says, and unto Him He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. 2 Chronicles 16:9 tells us, the eyes of the Lord search the whole world in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. You see, I don't know about you, but the last time I checked, the world is in need of a dire transformation. It needs the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's why we need to experience God at work in our lives. Because to experience God, that means we got to believe that He's always at work and that He always is pursuing His personal love relationship with us that invites us to join Him in His work. This is His kingdom. This is His church. And He invites us to join with Him. He is doing that. He is calling us into new steps of obedience in our walk with Him so we might join Him, that we will be able and enable us to do what He's calling us to do. And we need to make those adjustments required to obey God, and we will accomplish, or He will accomplish, His work in and through us. Many of us believe that God has good plans and purposes for our lives. We want to believe God's got a plan and a purpose, but how do we discern and how do we determine what that purpose is? Have you ever thought about that? We pray and we say, God, I know You've got a will, Your will, and I know You've got a purpose, but what is that? We're talking about setting our sails here. So His Spirit is what propels us forward into our God-given destiny. So how do I know if my sail is set towards selfish ambitions or if I'm headed out to fulfill the will that He has called me to do? And when do I see the vision that he has for our lives? So when we step into this, we have to understand that if we're going to understand God's calling for our life, it all starts with discovering really who God is right where you are. Okay, we want, sometimes we want God to work in our lives, but we don't really want to discover all of God. Because we're afraid if we discover all of God, then the more we discover of them, the more expectations he may have from us. That's why so many people have superficial relationships with God. They're not seeking to really discover God. So before we can understand who we are, we must first have a revelation of who God is. And so often we're self-focused, whether you have a high or low opinion of yourself, too much self-concern, we're focused, everything is focused on me and myself, and God is not made in our image, but we are made in his. Sometimes we think, well, God looks just like us. No, we look just like him. He created us in his image. We are made in his, and if we are his workmanship, then we can't really discover much about ourselves until we first know him. That makes sense? So getting to know God means that at the most practical level, it really means spending time with him. Spending time with him. We have a lot of husbands and wives in here this morning, and the first thing you did when you met your spouse is you wanted to spend more time with them. If you didn't, they wouldn't be your spouse today. It would be somebody else sitting next to you. And so we want to spend more time. So many of us, if we want to spend more time with God, or if we want to know more about God, we got to spend more time with him. We got to tell him our thoughts. Sometimes I used to think that God didn't want me to talk about things that I was angry about. You ever feel that way? Like, well, I can't talk to God about this. I'm angry right now. You know, the Bible does say be angry and sin not. So that there's a big difference between being angry and just going into a cussing fit. Okay? So you don't want to do that with God. All right? I'm strongly recommending you not do that. Okay, because one of the commandments is thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain, and it's not very good when you go in to talk to him and you start taking his name in vain when you have a conversation with him. Probably not going to get very far, okay? So we have to take and have a conversation with God. Sometimes it's all right to tell God, you know, God, things just are not going well right now, and I'm not happy about this, and what do I got to do? Usually it's not what God has done, it's what we have done. Okay, usually it's we're not in the right position that we need to be. And that leads us to the next point in our journey. We've got to discover who we are in Jesus Christ. And this is so very, very important. The biggest reason that we often can't discover who we are until we know God is because knowing him is going to change us. And we don't like change. We just don't. We struggle with change. And understand, the more you know him, the more you change. And the more you change, the more you will have to adjust your sail, or the more you will have to adjust your life. And people don't like to adjust their lives. We like things the way they are. We get comfortable with things the way they are. We hate change. We fight change. But when we allow the Holy Ghost to dwell in us, we will be transformed and restored, growing closer to the original reflection of God that we were created to be. Our purpose as a born-again Christian is to build the kingdom of God. Our purpose isn't to build a big church, although the kingdom of God is a big kingdom. We're not going to limit God. But our purpose isn't to take and make us look good. Our purpose is to make him look good. And this is a calling of every believer, but each person has a different role in this project. I for many years, I became a plumber back in 1985. And it's actually my indenture date is 6/5/85. I can always remember that because it just rhymes. And I worked on a lot of construction. I worked on a lot of houses. We worked on a lot of apartments. We did some light manufacturing and such. But, you know, when I would show up on a job, I just did the plumbing. I didn't do the carpentry. I didn't do all of the other things. And everybody has a different role in the church. Some of us may be foundation builders because that's what we are. We're concrete guys. We build the foundations. Some of us may be the electricians. Some may be the plumbers. You got to have heating and air conditioning. You got to have roofing on the place. You got to have a roofer. You got to have all of these different trades. You want to have your building wired for telephones and for internet and all that. You got to have all of these different trades come together. You want a wood floor. You want carpet on the floor. You want tile on the floor. What kind of landscaping do you want outside? So all of these come together to make the building possible. And that's the same way it works in the kingdom of God. What's your calling is what God has called you to do. God didn't call me to do that. What's my calling, God called me to do. So you work in your calling. I will work in my calling because it's impossible for us to do this without him. We can't build the building without him. You are the only one who is qualified to do what God created for you, but without him, being Jesus Christ, we will lose our qualifications. So if we're the only one, if God's called me to do the plumbing in the building and I lose my qualifications for being a plumber, then I can't do the plumbing. But that's what I was called to do. That's what I was trained to do. So if we're not sensing God's leading, we have to ask ourselves, which direction is my sail set? If my sail is full of wind, but I'm going in the wrong direction, I'm not sure how God is specifically leading you, then it's important to remain faithful in the things that you're doing right now. As I said, go back to your last sail adjustment. When did I last set the adjustments on my sail? And then we need to reset at that point. You see, all is not lost. Just because you may have lost a day or maybe you lost a week, it doesn't mean that you have to throw in the towel and you have to quit and give up on everything. So many times that's what our flesh says. Ah, you're no good at this. Just forget it. You're no good at preaching. Just give it up. Just quit. Give it up. Well, I can't because God's called me to do this. So what do I got to do? I got to go back to my last sail adjustment. When did I last readjust my sail? And I got to go back to that benchmark, and I got to readjust and reset and continue to follow after God. We also, one of the biggest holdups that we struggle with in our lives is getting started. You ever talk with someone that they're always going to get started on something? They have all of these plans, all of these ambitions, and they're going to do it someday. And we sometimes have that same approach when it comes to God. We have all of these plans, all of these ambitions, but we're too comfortable sitting at the dock. We have the ship, we have the sails, we have all the provision, we have everything we need, but it's a whole lot safer if we just sit right here at the dock. But that's not what ships were designed to do. That's not what we're designed to do. So we need to get free of the dock, we need to set our course, and we need to learn to move. We need to flow with the winds of the Holy Ghost so we can carry out that purpose in us every day. When a person begins to walk into their calling, understand something, you will have opposition. It's going to happen. It's going to come. When you start messing with the turf, you start messing with the territory of the enemy, he's going to take and fight back. The further we get out to sea, the stronger the winds can become, the larger the waves can become. There's going to be opposition. So what we need to do is set our sail according to the direction and that God wants us and desires us to set our sail so that when opposition comes our way, we can actually use opposition to propel us forward. Because that's exactly what happens when you're in a large sailing vessel. You're sailing maybe against the wind, and God is propelling you. So when we walk into our calling, what does the scripture say? What did we just read this morning? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What's a stronghold? It's anything that the enemy throws at us that comes against us. if we were hoping for a life of ease, sometimes we think, boy, you know, being a Christian, it should be really simple and easy being a Christian. I just have to inform you that you're going to probably be disappointed. Being a Christian is not always easy. It's not always simple. But living a life of sin is not always easy, and it's not always simple either. Look at the two. So if we choose a life of purpose, and through choosing to live that life, we're not going to be spared from hardship. God's not going to come in and say, you know what, Brother Noah, you're doing really good, and I really like you, and I want to make sure that you're happy, so I'm not going to allow anything difficult to come your way. That whenever something difficult, I'm just going to shelter you, I want to cover you, I want to protect you. No, God didn't do that to Job. In fact, God looked at Job when Satan was looking for somebody to attack. God looks at Job and says, Satan, I got a guy over here. Have you considered him? You're looking for somebody to whoop on and beat up. You want to destroy somebody's life? Here, have you considered my servant Job? We love to read about Job. We love to tell the story about Job, but we don't want to experience what Job experienced. You see, anything that we value in life, it's worth fighting for. If what I'm doing I value, then you know what? It's worth fighting for. It's worth fighting for. But we cannot let any challenges that we face keep us from getting started, because we're going to face challenges. We have to equip ourselves with resources and surround ourselves with godly people who are also following after God's calling. Along the way, we're going to need a few things. We're not going to make this trip all by ourselves. You see, we need each other. I need you. You need the brother or sister sitting next to you. We all need mentors in our lives to guide us. We need godly influence in our lives. If you have traveled through any difficult times, you know what? Your power of your testimony is incredible. Share your testimony with someone. Share it with others as to how you made it through. Did you know that the whole book of Job is nothing but a testimony on how you can overcome through extreme adversity? What is the book of Esther? The book of Esther is not just a cool story about a normal, everyday maiden that became queen of one of the most powerful empires in the world at that time. No, it's a story of a powerful testimony on how God can use a young lady. That's a pretty important testimony. It's incredible. So that's why we have these books in the Bible, Job and Esther. This is why some of the prophets of old, they talk about some of the trials and tribulations and things that they went through. They went through that as a testimony. We need each other. We need each other to keep us grounded and remind us that, you know what, you're not in this alone. You don't have to fight this battle alone. Somebody can come up beside you and say, hey, you know what, brother? You know what, sister? Let me help you. You ain't heavy. You're my brother. Let's help one another. It's important that we build the next generation. And as we build the next generation, we should bring hope and bring them further along than what we are. My goal is here, a personal goal, is that as we raise up young ministers in the kingdom of God to go out and plant churches, that they do a whole lot better job than what I'm ever able to do. I got that in plumbing. That was kind of instilled in me. The guy that I worked for, he could be hard at times. I remember one time he told me, he said, you know what? He said, the reason I'm hard on you is because I see potential in you. And I want you to become better than I have become. I remember the day he told that to me, and I remember the day that he came up to me. And he called me at the end of the day. He came to pick me up on the job, and he came down where I was working, and he says, you know, remember that time when I told you that someday I hoped you would be better than me, and you got a little upset at me? And I said, yeah. He said, well, he said, I think that day's arrived. You see? And I'm not in competition with anybody here. If anything, I'm in competition with my own flesh. Okay? I don't have to compete with Elder. I don't have to compete with Bishop. I don't have to compete with Brother Mark. I don't have to compete with Brother James. God called me to do what God called me to do. And I got to do what God's called me to do. So we have to keep pressing towards our goal. Starting out on God's calling on our lives is an adventure, but there are times that, you know what, we will settle into some bit of a routine. And that's not always a bad thing. Sometimes we look at ministry and we say, well, you know what, I'm kind of bored. And this ministry is not quite as excited as I thought it was. I remember reading a book on Christopher Columbus when he sailed to discovered America. He didn't sail to discover America, but he accidentally found America. He was looking for a passage to the East Indies. But I remember reading where that he would enter into his log, his daily log book, and this was over a period of weeks. His log entries were almost always the same. It'd be a few little mundane details about the day, and then it would say, sailed westward again today. And sometimes in our lives as Christians, we can fill out our logbook at the end of the day, and as all we have to say is, sailed westward again today. I sailed westward again today. You see, it's not really God trying to help us in our boredom as much as God is testing us in our ability to be consistent in whatever state that we're in. You see, there's usually, when the water is smooth and the gentle winds are blowing, when all is well, is usually when we can get ourselves into the most trouble. And it's important that we preserve our focus and direction in the path that God is leading us into. And if our musicians can come this morning. See, we can do all of this by practicing discipline. It takes discipline to sail a ship. You just can't take a big sailboat and put it on autopilot. Doesn't really work that way, because you're going to end up sailing in whichever direction the wind is blowing and where your sail is set. I remember reading a story of a young man. He was, I believe, his sailboat name was called the Dove or Dove, and he was the youngest man to ever sail around the world. And I remember intrigued by this because he was all by himself, and he did this. He was like 15 or 16 years old. And it took him a couple years to do it. This was back before we had GPS and all this stuff, so he had to sail the old-fashioned way. And he would have a little marker that was pulled behind his sailboat that would tell him how many miles he would travel. And the fish kept biting that off because it was shiny, so he ran out, didn't have any. So he had no idea how many miles he was traveling in a day. The only thing he knew is just by following his compass and by charting the stars, that's how he sailed. And I remember him in his book talking about not knowing exactly how far he sailed, not knowing exactly for sure where he is, but just plotting out places on a map. And sometimes we can go through life not always knowing where we are, just plotting out a place on the map in cruise control. But at some point in time, we may find out that we missed our last landmark by 1 mile, 2 miles, 50 miles, or 100 miles. God is saying, listen, if you want to be right spot on, you're going to continually to have to take the time to make those adjustments in our lives so that we can sail exactly. We can get our boat, our vessel, our life exactly where God wants us to be. So if you could stand. So perhaps this morning you may say, you know what? I've been just kind of sitting on autopilot for a long time. I'm not even for sure where I'm at anymore. Well, God knows where you're at. He knows exactly where you're at. You know what? He's willing to take and he's willing to meet with you right here this morning. He said, you know, if you come down here to this altar and you pray, I'll help you adjust that sail. I'll give you some direction. Maybe you've never started a walk with God yet. Maybe you've never made a commitment to follow after the Lord. Well, I want to encourage you that this is a good place. Today's a good time to get started. You got your sailing vessel. You got your provisions. You're sitting at the dock, and God is saying, listen, there's a whole wide world out there that I want you to explore. I've got a purpose for you, and it's not just sitting here lifelessly in a port. So I want to invite you to come down this morning. Just have a time to talk with God. As our praise team, if you could just sing.
You are here, moving.